Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God wants us to be whole. He wants us to be so whole that we are at peace. Because peace, shalom, means wholeness. And he wants to bring us into that place of wholeness. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God," and that's not talking about the Bible, by the way. Whenever it says the word of God, it isn't the Bible, it's Jesus. He's the word of God. The word that was with God at the beginning. They didn't have a Bible when this was written. So it's not talking about the Bible. So it isn't the Bible that's going to actually be living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, which is what you're probably taught from any evangelical perspective. Nothing to do with the Bible. So don't expect the Bible to do this for you. Jesus will do this for you when you relate to him as the truth. I'm going no further than that, but maybe one day I'll go further. Here's this same scripture from the Message. From the Mirror Bible, it says this: "The message God spoke to us in Christ is the most life-giving and dynamic influence in us." So this is identifying it with God, Jesus, as the Word. "Cutting like a surgeon's scalpel, sharper than a soldier's sword, piercing to the deepest core of human conscience, to the dividing of soul and spirit, ending the dominance of the self-sense realm and its neutralizing effect upon the human spirit. In this way, a person's spirit is freed to become the ruling influence again in the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The scrutiny of this word detects every possible disease, discerning the body's deepest secrets where joint and marrow, bone marrow meet." So this sort of starts to open up what this real is about. That Jesus wants to penetrate to the deepest depths of your soul to bring you into complete wholeness and complete peace with your soul and spirit and body. That's his desire. So it goes on to say, "The moment we cease from our own efforts to justify ourselves, by yielding to the integrity of the message that announces the success of the cross, God's word is triggered into action." Again, it is Jesus' words that spoken to us, not just the Bible. "What God spoke to us in his sonship, the incarnation, radiates his image and likeness in our redeemed innocence. The word powerfully penetrates and impacts our whole being, body, soul, and spirit." So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we're being transformed into the same image. What image? The image that he has of us. You know, I mean, I used to like, you know, Star Trek and things like that. And I used to be fascinated with the transporter beam. Wouldn't it be great to be transported on the transporter beam? Well, how the transporter beam worked is it turned your matter into energy and it kept a buffer. In the pattern buffer, it kept a record of your image. So when you came out the other end, you came out the same as when you went in. And it's like God has the master image of your life. The very thing that he created you to be is still within his heart. And when you engage with his heart, you begin to realize who he made you to be as it gets unveiled from one degree of glory to another. It isn't all one go. It's as we relate to him that changes and transforms us. And then we become more like who he made us to be, which is what glory really means. It's the essence of who we are. So we become, who he always intended us to be, we actually become. And that whole process is a step-by-step process. It doesn't happen everywhere. How did they get like that? You know, it's like
it's a miracle.
Now they're all demonized wires. So the process of change to display the glory of God, the presence of God on earth as it is in heaven, you know, we can choose to embrace it. We pursue it, we begin to change, we begin to mature. We can stay babies or infants or toddlers the rest of our lives, but we will never fulfill our destiny and who we're called to be as mature sons in heaven or on earth. But it's our choice. You know, we can stay as we are, or we can pursue being changed and transformed relationally. Because the more I behold him, the more I become like he mirrors back to me that I am. Because I'm made in his image and he made me to be. He knows exactly who I should be and what I should look like. But I'm only going to get that through him and nowhere else. You know, you're never going to get it through reading the Bible. You're only going to get it through engaging Jesus, the living word of God. So I used to pray for this verse, Psalm 139:23. And in this verse, in this psalm, is where he talks about the vast sum of his thoughts. And, you know, do we know the vast sum of his thoughts? And he knew us before we were in the mother's womb. So then it says, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. So put me on trial. This is where the court system comes in. I'm standing on trial in the court for my thoughts, or my mindsets, or my belief systems, or my values, or my behaviors. Then it sort of says, you know, and see if there be any hurtful way in me. Another version says wicked way. Another version says idolatrous way. And lead me in the everlasting way. Now the everlasting way is what's coming out of God's heart in eternity. And that's what I want to connect to. I don't want things in my heart that have come from the world around me. I don't want things in my heart that have come from my generational line. I don't want to be anxious and have thoughts which are my interpretation of life. I don't want iniquitous, hurtful, or idolatrous ways in me. I don't want my own image of God. I want to be led along that everlasting path. I want to re-engage with my eternal identity in him. And so I'm willing for him to examine and try me, and let's get some fire in my heart. You know, it's like the fire of God is his love. It's his passion for us. We don't have to be afraid of fire, because his passion and his love burns. And if you read Song of Solomon 8, you know, about, you know, his love burning like a flame. You know, it's a really important verse. So here we have our spirit and the flow of life from our spirit flowing through the soul, because there's no blockages and there's no gateways that are blocked and there's no familiar spirits, I'm sure, in any of us. But the reality is we're in a journey and a process. So we won't be perfect in all these things, but it doesn't stop us dealing with the separation of soul and spirit. Now, I listened to Ian Clayton teaching this years ago, and I'm like, oh, I just don't get it. You know, I didn't relate to how he described it. It was just too violent, and I just didn't feel, well, this is really, didn't feel me. So I just sort of think, well, okay, I really accept the revelation that my soul needs to be separated, and I'm totally open for God to doing it, but he took me on my own journey through it, which I shared with you. So ultimately, we have actual ties that should flow from the inside out, but actually what happens is they flow from the outside in. So rather than the spirit connecting to the soul, so we're quantumly entangled and joined, the soul is connected to the spirit to draw life for independence. That's what the soul ties are that connect our soul and spirit, if they're coming from the outside in. Because they're drawing life for independence, for self, for ego, whichever the word you want to call it. Since that's really what God wants to deal with. So we want those things removed. So everything is flowing from the inside out, and nothing's going the other way. But they're there, and they may be connecting different gateways. They may be particular specific things that are in your life that only you know about it and only God will show you. So you know, it may be different what all those things are. You know, you may be a worshiper and you may be drawing from your soul to spirit to actually your identity as a worshiper. But rather than getting your identity from God as a worshiper, you get it from what you do, which is worship. And if someone said you can't worship anymore, or you can't lead worship anymore, or you can't play, what would you feel like? Well, I don't know who I am. Well, I'm not me anymore then, if I can't do that, because this is who I am. Well, actually, it's not who you are. You're a worshiper, not because you do worship, but because he made you a worshiper. And the same would be any for those gateways. You know, I operate in revelation, I have intuition. You know, those type of things. It's like, well, okay, so you're prophesying, you're releasing God's word, you get words of knowledge, you flow in all that stuff, and all of a sudden it stops. Why do you feel now? Are you the same person? Because if you're not the same person after you stop doing things, then you're getting your identity from what you do. So God stops us doing things sometimes to test, are we actually flowing from who we are, or are we flowing to get who we are? Because if I'm getting my identity for what I do, then God is going to challenge it some way in my life. Because I do not need to do something to be who I am. I am because I am in relationship with Him. And He's made me that way. And when I'm secure in that, I won't need to do anything. And if I don't do anything, it won't affect how I think about myself, how I feel about myself, or anything else. But if I am getting my identity, and it's feeding my self worth, my value, my esteem, all those things which are coming from self, because self-esteem, I don't want self-esteem. Self-esteem is me giving me my esteem because what I do. I don't want self-worth because my worth is coming from self. I want worth. And who's the only one who's going to give me worth or value or esteem? God. Because He's created me to live with a value and esteem and worth because He values me. He loves me. So this is where the test comes. Until you get something taken away, you don't know often whether which one is ruling. You know, and that's what this process is about. So ultimately, we don't want these things connecting from the wrong way. We want them flowing from the right way. So I want my reverence and fear of the Lord gates engaging my conscience, because they will activate my conscience to do nothing that's ever going to hinder my relationship with God. Because they will protect fiercely my relationship with God, and doing nothing that's ever going to damage that relationship or cause in any way any disrepute to come to God from what I do. Because they will guide me and direct me, both what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. Because that's what the gateways are supposed to do. So in me, these gates are connected in particular ways because of the way I'm wired. And I have a sort of balance in some areas and not in others because that's how I'm wired. They don't all necessarily function at the same level in all of us. Some people very much operate in revelation and intuition, and they're feelers and they're sensors. And they can walk into a room and sense and feel what's going on, and they feel atmospheres, and they're very sensitive to those sorts of things. No, I've learned to become sensitive to those things because I engage my spirit and see what's going on. But I don't function as much just in purely from the revelation of those things. But we all need to develop the ones that we are wired, you know, how we're connected the right way. So when I wanted to deal with this, we need to invite Jesus, the living Word of God, the truth, into the place between our soul and spirit. Because that's the place where He is going to cut and separate soul and spirit. So that's what we'll do. Then we're going to ask Jesus, the truth, to reveal any umbilical cords from soul to spirit. So we're going to ask Him to show you, are there any connections that are going from your soul to your spirit so your soul can operate without the flow the other way? Then we're going to ask Jesus the living word and the sword of the Spirit, which is Jesus, not the Bible. Now, I know we sort of were drawing the sword of the Spirit as a game. We used to do that. Draw the sword of the Spirit. Well, that's just nonsense, really. But in reality, Jesus is the living word and the sword of the Spirit, and He is going to divide our soul and spirit. Now, this is not going to solve all the problems in your life. This created in me the opportunity of Him going deeper in every area that I ever knew. Because He then dealt with my motivations. I dealt with behaviors. You know, when I went through my gateways, it was all behaviors. All the way my soul operated behaviorally. Never dealt with the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Never dealt with my trading motivations or any of that stuff. When I separated soul and spirit, I didn't care any longer. I had no reputation to preserve. I was dead. So I didn't fight and resist any of it. So I allowed Him to do it, and it made it so much easier because my soul and spirit were in cooperation for the process of going from one degree of glory to another, rather than my spirit forcing it or ruling over my soul, which I had to do a lot. But my spirit was strong enough to do it, but it was wasted effort. You know, why? You know, why did I want to waste the effort of ruling when I could be free? You know, and you know, we had a whole load of teaching in the 90s about ruling. You need to rule, you need to learn how to rule. And what it meant was you need to control your flesh with your spirit. Well, it was just so much hard work to control the flesh, where actually you need to surrender. So when you're surrendered, it isn't hard work any longer, because your soul cooperates. It resonates, it comes into agreement. So much easier with what God's doing. So we're going to ask Jesus to do that. So we're going to invite Jesus, the living Word of God, to untether our spirit from our soul and from being earthbound. Because the soul will keep us in the place where it's familiar with. And that's why you have to keep stepping in and stepping out. Because the soul wants to be here. Yes, it's very happy for you to do things in heaven. But actually, it still wants to be here, because actually that's where the soul functions. This is where the soul is supposed to function in reality, but not separated from the spirit and not separated from heaven, but completely connected to heaven and the spirit. So we're going to be able to fly like a butterfly and soar like an eagle. So you're going to be able to go higher than you've been before. You're going to be able to free to go under any tethering, which is going to hold you to a certain distance or keep you to a certain place. You may have been tethered to a particular place to live, and you may find that you're now free for God to move you, because you're not tethered there any longer. Sometimes our soul is connected to a place. It's called territorial spirit, that's connected to a particular place, and that's the place we love, and we would never ever think of living anywhere else. And all of a sudden you're separated from that, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm free. I can be anywhere that God wants me to be. You know, when we first were married, and you know, my wife loved the place we were living. It was where we were both born in the town, and we lived there, and she loved it. The sea, or she loved the sea. I mean, and then God challenged us to move. And it's like, I'm like, yeah, let's go. I didn't have any ties. You know, I didn't have a generational history to the place. She did. So we couldn't move. We couldn't sell the house. Nothing would move. Now, God didn't actually want us to move. He just wanted to unveil the fact that we couldn't. Well, she couldn't. I could. I wouldn't want to see go without her. So we had to deal with it. Well, I learned all my deliverance on her, because she had one of everything. Or more of everything that was going. Elemental spirits, familiar spirits, generational spirits, things that tied her to the land, things that tied her to the sea. She had everything. I chased her around our land, I don't know how many times, trying to get rid of this stuff because I wanted to move. And she was like, in the end, she had to come into agreement and say, God, if you want me to move, I'm willing to move. And she forced the words out. Because she didn't want to move. She'd lived there all her life. You know, and she, literally, when she came home on the train from school or from when she worked, she would come around, and there was it's a beautiful train ride from where we live to from the next station. And she would come around the corner, and literally she would worship what she saw. Because that's what you do with elemental spirits. You worship the sun. That's what we call it, sun worshippers. Because actually, she worshipped the sea, because it's a fishing town. Now, I lived at the top of the town, she lived at the bottom of the town, and there was a dividing line in the town where you were called an uplonger or a downlonger. And the downlongers were fishermen and the uplongers were miners. So I was born uplong. So we had tension all our married life. I wanted to walk in the hills, she wanted to go on the beach. And it's just like, I didn't mind walking on the beach, but it was like, why would you want to walk on the beach when you could walk in the hills? She's like, why would you want to walk in the hills when you can be on the beach? So we actually found that there were generational things that actually kept us separated by this divide in the town. I mean, it was fun uncovering all this stuff. It really was. You know, of course, I didn't have any demons. I was totally free. That's what I thought. I mean, literally, I ministered deliverance to people for 3 or 4 years, And I thought, I must have got away with this. I've never had any deliverance whatsoever. And it didn't matter what, I was open for it, just never happened. But eventually, it was like, all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was just like, but because I knew how to do it, I just delivered myself most of it, you know. But we, none of us really get away with much, to be honest. So yeah, we were in this situation where now she got all this deliverance, and immediately we got this deliverance, basically God said, hey, I don't want you to move. So I thought, you sneaky thing. But then when we were then called to move where we are now, she was, yeah, let's go. And we put the house on the market and it sold like that. Because God was preparing us for the move we were eventually to make. And if we then, at that point, hadn't dealt with everything before that, we would have never moved. So we may be tethered to things that this process may bring you freedom from in lots of different areas. So be prepared that you may well be feeling different about certain things that at the moment are really important to you, but actually will lose their importance and value when you're not tethered and connected to them. So we're going to invite Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to make us whole by reintegrating our soul and spirit and bringing us this connection. So reconnecting our soul and spirit and our soul spirit gates, you know, by quantumly entangling us to live in dual realms. So the point of this is, after you have separated soul and spirit, you won't keep stepping in and stepping out. You won't need to, because you can live there. Now, you have to practice living there, and we'll do a session on dual realms living, and we'll practice. So you can step in, and then your spirit can stay there, and you can step out with your soul consciousness, and then you can see what you receive from heaven through that connection and entanglement. And it's really good fun, because you learn how to flow from that realm to this realm. But it's something you learn to do. You know, although from that day I was free, I didn't know how it worked. You know, it's just like, well, I'm free. What do I do now? But then it was like, then God started to call me into things where the flow from heaven was absolutely vital. You know, I got away with it up to that point in time because I can teach stuff from my experience and share it and teach people. But actually, this was now I was able to be that realm, and I could now teach people from not my experience. I can teach people from the revelation that God releases. I can teach people from what my spirit has experienced, what my soul hasn't yet, which is lots. So things really did change when I was able to live in dual realms. So we need to embrace this transformation process so that we can all become whole. And the more we become transformed into the image that God has made us in, the more authority and the more power will be released, because we're being recognized as the children of God. See, heaven recognizes and knows where you are. Heaven recognizes whether you really know your identity or not. And the angels respond when they see sonship. They don't respond the same way when they see us just practicing, you know, because it's dangerous just to practice on doing some of the things you can do in heaven. So God doesn't give you a machine gun when you're a baby. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you know, people used to teach you, you get what you say. Well, I'm really glad that I didn't get what I said. And I'm really glad that other people didn't get what I said either to them. Because there are a few people who cut me up on the road that may not have been alive right now if they'd actually got what I said. And now I'm much more chilled and can take some of that and bless them and mean it. But you see, when the pressure comes on, what comes out? Because it's in there. You know, if you hit your thumb with a hammer and you say, oh dear, that was painful. Then probably you do not have things inside you that may come out when you hit your thumb with a hammer, and you use some other form of expression. Because it's in there and the pressure brings it out. So we don't want it in there. So we can be transformed so that those things aren't there, and the authority we have will increase. You know, I went from operating in the realm of the kingdom of God, operating in the mobile court, engaging the court of angels and the strategy court, and I was functioning in all that. I was engaging the ark and all those things. But God wanted to release me into kingship. He wanted to give me an orb. He wanted to give me another throne. He wanted to give me a seal that took me into the chancellor's houses and all that sort of stuff. Never going to happen until I was separated soul and spirit. When I didn't need to know, he was free to tell me and show me and take me. It was just awesome. It was like, and I had no expectation of it because I didn't need to know. But now he knew I didn't need to know. He was free to tell me and show me way, way more than I could have ever imagined or thought. So our soul wants to be recognized for what we do. Those are the surface issues. The soul looks maybe to provide for its own needs. When we look for affirmation, and we look for affection, when we look for approval from people for what we do rather than for just we're trading, really. So we're trading on that to receive something from others to make us feel better about ourselves. So literally, I made some declarations when I prepared for this. So I choose to surrender my soul's rights to you, Lord. Now, if you'd like, you can make these declarations yourself. You don't have to do it out loud if you don't want to. But if you want to go through the process, this is a clue of how easy it is to say these things. Because if it's not easy and I don't want to say it, then you're probably not ready to actually do it. So if you're easy, say, hey, I choose to surrender my soul's rights to you. I used to say every day, I don't want a free will. Because my free will always got me in trouble. So in the end, it's like, I don't want to be in trouble anymore. I don't want a free will. I just want your will. Now, no one's got a free will because we're all influenced by something. But we have a choice. My choices, independently of God, never worked out too well. So I decided that my choices weren't worth having. So I wanted his choice. I choose to surrender any path that I have followed from the DIY tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Me doing it myself. I choose to surrender all the works of the soul to validate itself. I choose to surrender my redemptive gift to you. I declare I will not use it for self-validation. I ask that you untether me from being bound to the earth or earthbound. Free me so that I'm free to soar beyond the earth into the spiritual and heavenly dimensions. I ask that you, the sword of the Spirit, the living word of God, Jesus, will sever any umbilical cord or ties in my soul that have fed off my spirit that gives my soul power to live in independence. I ask you to untether and separate me from any ungodly tie connected to my redemptive gift. I ask the Prince of Peace to reintegrate my soul and spirit from the inside out. I ask that you would reconnect and quantumly entangle my soul and spirit, Mr. Nyatha, that ever my spirit is in the spiritual realms and will be continually connected so that heaven will flow through me into the earth. So these are redemptive gifts, okay? Prophet, now this is not prophesying. This is the way you see the world. This is the way you're wired to see how things fit. Servant, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, mercy. I am prophet, teacher. My wife is mercy. Not a good combination if you don't recognize each other's gift. When you recognize each other's gift, it's a really good combination because she carries a whole lot of stuff that I don't. Now, she kept wanting me to be like her because she wanted me to be more merciful. And I'm not really sure what I wanted her to be. Just not a pain in the neck to me, I think, most of the time. But we struggled with these things. We struggled, the marriage teaching on love gifts, you know, those type of things, you know. It's like, well, we had totally different love gifts. So mine was physical affection, hers were words of affirmation. So when we were first married, I smothered her with physical affection and she smothered me with words of affirmation. So we didn't love each other. I didn't feel loved. Words of affirmation? I'm not bothered, I'm not interested in words. They just didn't bother me. I wanted physical affection, she didn't give me any. So I'm smothering her physical affection. She wanted words of affirmation, didn't give her any. So we're like, not feeling loved. Well, we didn't know any of that. So I wish I did know at the beginning. It would have saved years of heartache. Because I'm like, well, you don't love me. She says, well, you don't love me. Well, what do you mean? I'm always showing you I love you. No, you're not. Well, we both thought we were actually loving each other because we were loving each other the way we wanted to be loved. Not loving each other the way the person needed to be loved. So you can get all these sort of misunderstandings and things. Now, you know, fortunately, we sort of got over it a little bit. And then it was like, so I'm going to try and be giving her words of affirmation. And, you know, and she knew I was trying. So she was like, you're just saying that. Well, of course I'm just saying that. Don't you want to hear it? Well, I want you to mean it. It was fun. It was really fun, you know. Yeah. But the same thing applied when we started to engage the things of the Spirit. And I go into heaven, I have this thing, I come out, and I'm like a different person. But she knows I'm a different person, but now she's threatened by that. Because the intimacy level that I had with God just went up like that. Now she's saying, well, you don't need me anymore. So I'm like, well, no, I don't need you, but I want you. Is that not good enough? But it was really interesting because I was beginning to teach the immediate core group these things. So I did some mentoring and it's like, okay, let's practice engaging and whatever. They said, well, yeah, but how do you do it? So I said, well, I don't know, I just do it. So I said, well, can't you show us how to do it? Why am I going to do that? So, well, can you just demonstrate it? So, oh, okay. So I thought, well, okay. You close your eyes, and I'll close my eyes, and I'll just do what I do with God every day. And I'll do it out loud, and I'll just ignore you, and just do it. So I did it, and it was like 45 minutes an hour, and they were like, whoa. We didn't think it was like that. So I recorded it. And it's like, we're going home in the car, she's really quiet. So I'm thinking, oh, what have I done now? No. Because I know the body language and I think. So we get home, we sort of get about to get a car. She says, you don't need me, do you? So that's what she said. I said, well, you're so intimate with God, you don't need me. So I said, well, no, I want you though. I want, because if I love God and God loves me, I should be able to love you better. But she felt threatened by it. So we then had conflict because my intimacy caused her a problem rather than caused her to rejoice. So then it was like, okay, I'm teaching her these things. She said to me, well, I'll do it my way. I'm not like you, so I don't need to do it this way. I said, that's okay, fine, find your way. It's great, no problem. So, you know, I let a few months go by and I said, well, how are you doing? Well, not very well. So I said, well, why aren't you doing it? Well, I don't know how to do it. I said, well, I thought you were going to find your way to do it. Well, yeah, but I can't do it. I said, well, why don't you do it the way I showed you to do it, and then you'll find your way. Well, no, I want to do it my way. So I leave for a couple of months. And it's like, well, how are you doing? Well, not very well. I think you really need to just try doing it this way until you can find your own way. And eventually, she did. And then she was like, I said, well, how are you doing? Oh, well, yeah, this happened and that happened and it's this happened and this happened, you know. And it was just like, now she can do all this stuff. She's teaching, you know, all the people at home, all the basics of this stuff and do it. But she had to find her own way, but she had to give up being stubborn because she wanted to do it her way. And sometimes you can't do it your way if you don't know how to do it. So that's why I do engagements to say, look, start with this, but don't use this then as a parroting thing that you will just do the same thing as I do, because these things work for me. Because this is how I'm wired, so I can only show you how I'm wired. But this, what this does is say, well, actually, you then can engage this, find it your own way, but this is a starting point, not the end, but the beginning of your own journey. Because I don't want you to try and be like me, because you're never going to be like me, because there's only one of me and there's only one of you. So you've got to be like you, which is finding your own identity in it. But we have to humble ourselves sometime, you know, and it's like, she just wasn't willing to do that to start with. So it's like, but in the end, she did. Now, I wasn't trying to make her do it my way. I was wanted to actually be able to do this and engage and experience all the things that I was experiencing and more. But she had to, you know, I think God just, well, you know, it didn't work, you know. So we went through this whole process and we had this sort of spirit, soul and body thing. So what we're going to do now, okay, is we're going to invite Jesus to come through that first love gate. We're going to invite his presence and his glory to come and sit between soul and spirit. So he's going to come as we open that door. He's knocking on the door we did earlier. You may have done this already today in your life, so it's just inviting him to come and sit in your soul and spirit. But we'll go through the process for those who may not have done that or know how to do it. And we're going to ask the Word of God, the living Word of God, the two-edged sword, the sharp sword, to come between soul and spirit and to show you if there are any umbilical cords from soul to spirit. And then if he shows you anything, we're going to ask him to separate them. And separate your soul and spirit so that you are untethered and free. And then we're going to ask him to reintegrate your soul and spirit so that then you are free but connected in the right way so that there is an increasing flow that can come from the inside out. Now, as I said, this may just be the beginning of your process, or it may be great, it all happens in your all things. But this just was the start of my transformation process, really, because then it enabled me to be free in all the other areas that I couldn't see before. And then I knew God loved me so much, and I knew it didn't matter what I did in the past, because most of my trading floors were operating in the past, but I had to own them, because the motive was still there, even though I wasn't using it. So I wanted it completely free. I wanted to be purified, to be refined. I wanted the fire of God to purify my heart. So I embraced it. So I will use the bowls when we're separating, because I think the intent can be carried that will go beyond your mind. Because in this process, your mind can still get in the way sometimes. And we sometimes need something to go beyond the conscious mind to get into the subconscious where all this stuff functions. So I'll use the bowls, and the sound may hurt. It may feel like this is intrusive. Because sometimes it is intrusive, because it's penetrating deeper than just words do. Because that's what the sound does. It is a frequency which resonates, which can go within you and bypass the conscious mind to engage something deeper. So we'll see what happens with that. You may not need any of that. You may just embrace it and God will do it. So Jesus is knocking. So I encourage you to close your eyes. And just come into agreement with these words. If you want to do it, there's no pressure. You may just want to sit and observe. It's okay. So Jesus, we invite you, the living Word of God, to come through that first love gate. We open the doorway. We invite you to come in. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you want to make us whole. You're the Prince of Peace. We just thank you for your presence. And we invite you to come and walk through our spirit gates and come to that place where we surrender to you. As we come to the place of worship, walk through our worship gate, because we yield that to you and we bow down in agreement with you about us. So just walk through and come in between our spirit and soul. So we just consciously surrender all ties, all connections from my soul, from your soul, to your spirit. And just ask him to show you. Jesus, I ask you to show each person where those connections are, whether they're from gates to gates or just from soul to spirit. Just show each person what are any of those connections are and what they're tied to within the soul. So just spend a few minutes just waiting for God to show you, Jesus to show you anything that he wants to sever. Jesus as the Word of God, as the living Word, as the sword of the Spirit. We ask you to sever any connections from the conscience to the reverence and fear of the Lord gave, that may be operating from religious perspectives and legalism within our lives. So we ask you to sever those connections. To sever and cut those umbilical cords between conscience and our spirit. Soul and spirit, and divide and separate our soul from spirit. So we ask you to sever any connection from our imagination that goes to our soul, from our soul to our spirit, to sever those ties, separate us to fly. fire. So just let your spirit begin to soar. As you become whole, you can let your spirit soar on the wings of eagles. You can step into the realm of heaven. Just let your spirit engage and let your soul be separated but connected. Just form those connections. Let there be a flow of heaven. It's flowing through those connections. Let your soul resonate with your spirit. Come into agreement, harmony, peace, rest. Just let there be a resonance between your soul and spirit. Let your spirit resonate with the frequency of heaven. And let your soul instantly just begin to come into agreement. As God speaks to you words from heaven, let your soul instantly receive those words and come into agreement. Let heaven flow from spirit to soul and just become whole. Just sense that integration, that wholeness. And I would speak to any parts of your emotions, of any parts that are fragmented, and I would call those parts to come into wholeness and into agreement. That they would come into the Prince of Peace, Jesus. That there will be safety and security for reintegration and wholeness and healing and blessing to flow. So I just call to those parts with the word of peace, through the Prince of Peace, and I just call for wholeness. I call for love, and perfect love to cast out fear from your hearts. That trust would begin to grow and develop, and that your soul becomes a safe place. Just be the beginning for you, you know? But just continue to follow the process through. Just continually search my heart, oh God. It's like, this isn't the end, it's the beginning. But it's the beginning of a new chapter where you will be free to operate in a different way. And particularly from a perspective of tomorrow, we'll look at being seated in heavenly places. You know, we'll look at some of the where you're positioned in heaven. And actually, what do you do when you're in dual realms, and how does that work? Amen.